blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 74, stanzas 1 and 2. O Lord, give ear when with my voice I cry aloud to thee. Have mercy also, I entreat. Give answer unto me. Psalter 74, stanzas 1 and 2.
From God's holy and precious word from the book of Acts, thereof chapter 10, but before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Acts 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey, and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, and stood before the gate, and called, and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house, and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea. And Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and, behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him gave all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which were heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days.
We hope to remember in prayer this afternoon Mr. Dan van Warthousen, who fell in the nursing home and was taken to the hospital. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we try to pray unto thee who have no prayer, to pray, O teach us to pray, as John and as thou didst also teach thy disciples. Well, then we need a need to burn within our hearts, that we might truly pray to thee. So it was with this man, Cornelius, because we read in thy word that his prayer did come up unto thee. Thou didst hear his cry. Thou didst hear his need that was living in his heart. He did not express that to others, but he showed that unto thee. And thou didst hear from heaven thy dwelling place, and thou didst come down from heaven, sending thy messenger from heaven, when he did speak unto thee, and then thou didst also speak unto him. O Lord, that thou may look also upon us, art not thou the same yesterday, today, and forever? Thou didst live then, and thou dost live now. O Lord, that we may also experience the same, and that thou may work in the heart of each and every one of us, that same need as thou didst work in the heart of this Gentile. Oh, that there may be a cry that comes out of the depths unto the heights above, where there is power and where there is mercy and where there is forgiveness. Oh, that thou mayest hear from heaven thy dwelling place when men do pray unto thee always. For he did not cease to cry when he did not yet receive an answer from thee. And thou dost try thy own work, and thou dost put it in the fire that thou mayest prove that it is thy own. For they shall not always cry when that work is not from thee, but that shall die under the heat of the sun. It shall die under the heat of trial and affliction and persecution. O Lord, that thou mayest show what is thy work, what belongs to thee, because it is begun by thee, and it shall be finished and upheld by thee to that great eternity. And that thou mayest give thy children in all their need and in all their affliction, as so to cleave unto thy throne of grace, that thou may work such works in young and old together by thy Holy Spirit, which is alive today as it was in that day, even when that same Spirit of Pentecost did go forth, not only to the Jewish people, but also to the Gentiles, so that many also receive that Spirit of thee, and in that day, in an evident way, in an outward way, in the speaking of tongues, O Lord, that thou mayest with thy Spirit so labor amongst us, but also upon the mission fields, where thy servants do labor wherever they may be over the length and the breadth of this whole world. But also on our own mission fields, thou knowest those that labor there. Oh, that thou may uphold them also, and wilt thou strengthen them in the labors of their hands. Oh, that thou mayest enliven the desires when there may be discouragements, when the way is long, and when the clouds are dark, that thou mayest be near unto each and every one of them. When we see they may be also some in our midst in this afternoon, Lord, we beseech thee for thy help from above, and that thou mayest remember all the labors that are done, and grant thy indispensable blessing there. And wilt thou give also men that may be sent to our own mission fields, and that thou mayest work and labor in the heart of men, and that they may be sent forth to bring thy word in places where it is not heard, and where the devil does labor, as so with his darkness, to bring men to himself, even as an angel of light in this world. O Lord, that thou may put away the evil deeds, and that thou mayest bless all the labors of thy servants, also in our own congregations. Wilt thou increase their number? Wilt thou help the new student when he must move with his family, and that thou mayest be on their right and on their left in all decisions that must be made, and that thou may give in due time, that the studies may be taken up, and help all those that are called to instruct them also. And Lord, that thou mayst so bless us as a denomination, that the instruction of thy Spirit may not be missing upon our own pulpits, that there may be those who are made poor, that they may be also made rich, or that there may be those who are babes that are instructed, and whom thou dost reveal the things that are hidden from the wise and the prudent of this world. Lord, then thy ways are so mysterious, but they are also made to be so simple. Oh, could it be also in this afternoon hour that there may be a simplicity, and that there may be those that come up with a need in this afternoon, because we have fallen far away from thee, and we have brought ourselves into a great and a deep pit out of which we cannot redeem ourselves. But we have heard it in these moments, what God hath cleansed, that is no more common, O Lord, than it is cleansed. Oh, then it is clean. Oh, could it please thee that in our hearts also may be such a need, that we also may be washed, that we may be cleansed. Show us our filthiness. Show us our guilt. Show us our poverty, the impossibility to cleanse ourselves, that we might cry to thee with such a desire and with such a need that is heard from heaven and that is answered from heaven. Oh, bless young and old. Remember those that have been united in the day of yesterday in that bond of holy matrimony, that thou may bless them in their life together, and grant them many years together in thy favor. And could it please thee to bind them together under thy truth, and may it be also unto thee, because a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And remember all husbands and wives, that thou may give love to burn in the hearts, because we have not each other forever. And soon this life is finished, that thou may restore those bonds which are broken or are breaking. Wilt thou give a self-denial? Remember those that have been yesterday united for 63 years in that bond of holy matrimony, and now fallen in the nursing home. Lord, that thou may heal, that thou may spare yet. But could it please thee also to visit them in that place with the token of thy favor, that they might feel that thou art near. Bless thy word. Also in those places where the aged may dwell, and that thou may visit in the time when the grasshopper becomes a burden, and that the gray hairs do increase. Lord, that thou may remember also the young, because we think our life is long, but our life is short, thy word says. We don't believe it. We are unbelievers, but Lord, that thou may show it also unto our youth, because we know not what a day may bring forth, and that we may be given to hasten each one of us, fathers and mothers, and all of us together, whatever our circumstances may be, for the sake of our lives. And wilt thou care for all the afflicted, those that suffer from addictions? Remember those that have difficulties of the mind, those that have needs of the body, that suffer from serious diseases. Remember all that receive treatments. Wilt thou care for each one that has cares that are not known to others, and that are hidden crosses, and that do bear them alone? Oh, that they might find a place before thee, with all their cares, remember the widows. Lord, thou knowest also the loneliness. Oh, that thou may be near unto them with thy spirit, and that thou may bless them. Wilt thou care for children that are unborn? Thou knowest all the needs there also, and the cares that there can be. O Lord, that thou may supply when man is not able to supply, and give that children may be born. And then it is not the most necessary, and that they are born in a way of a health in this world, but that they might be born to be born again. O Lord, could it be, and that thou mayest labor even in the womb, for that soul is given in the womb, and that John the Baptist did leap in the womb. O Lord, that thou mayest supply for all the needs and the cares. Look upon us as a consistory when we hope to meet in the coming week. Be on our right and on our left. Give us wisdom and discretion, and that we may work with all our heart for the favor and for the good of Jerusalem and for the welfare of Zion. And that thou may bless the labors that are done in the midst of the congregation. Be thou with us in this hour. Favor us with a little token of thy presence, of thy nearness, that we would not be left to ourselves, but that thy word may be brought, and that thy word may be received. We ask it in the forgiveness of all of our sin. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 117 all the stanzas. As pants the heart for streams of living water, so longs my soul, O living God, for thee. I thirst for thee, and for thee my heart is yearning. When shall I come thy gracious face to see? 1 through 4 of Psalter 117. Congregation, our text for this afternoon hour can be found in the portion that was read to you, Acts chapter 10, and thereof the 34th verse. Acts 10, verse 34, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." So far in the words of our text, Peter preaches to the Gentiles. First, room evident for this preaching. And second, room declared in this preaching. Peter preaches to the Gentiles. First, room evident for this preaching. And second, room declared in this preaching. Then Peter opened his mouth. That is not just a conversation between a few people. No, this is preaching. This is a sermon. And that Peter is called here to bring. What does Paul say? He says, faith cometh by hearing. That is, by the preaching. And then he says that preaching is by the word of God. Thus it is not just about anything, but that is the word of God that is brought in the preaching, that is a word from heaven. And we have heard that in these few moments already, that there was words, that there was communication from heaven. That is something, is it not? That there was prayer that went to God, and that God heard that prayer. Do you ever ask, how long have I been praying? Does the Lord now ever hear that prayer? Maybe you say that, boys and girls, sometimes. I am just kneeling by my bed. I'm just kneeling by my bed. And I am not even maybe saying it out loud. I am just thinking it in my mind. Is that something that the Lord hears? We heard that. And that the Lord himself said to this man that his prayer was come up before God. You ever think about that? How many of our prayers when we are laying by our bed are so thoughtless? But now the Lord says they are come up before him. And then the Lord also sends a vision. He sends a vision to his servant. There is communication from heaven. And he sends an angel from heaven. Thus, it is not just a fable. No. We can see in all the providences how that the Lord is working through these things. What do you think of that, young people? Sometimes maybe you say, is that all true? Is that really all true? Are all just the things that are in the world true? Oh, there is nothing so true. There is nothing so lasting. There is nothing so precious as these things. And Peter, he must preach the word of God. Is there a place in your heart to receive that word of God? Because to whom is Peter here preaching? He is preaching in a very unlikely place. He is preaching in a place that he never thought that he would come. He did not himself ask to go there. No, but that was all guided from heaven. Oh, do you believe that? That even what is in the hands of men, that is all guided from above. Peter is not in the temple. Peter is not in a synagogue. Peter is here in a house. That is not normally where that preaching is done. But it is in this day where the Lord has commanded it to be done, and that house is here full of people. They have been waiting. Oh, what are they waiting for? They are waiting for a preacher. And there is at least one man there we see. He is anxiously waiting, probably. Then he thinks that it is taking a little bit too long. Maybe it is taking longer than he thought that it was going to take. Who is that man? Luke calls him Cornelius. He is a centurion, a Roman centurion. Thus, he is a man who is set over other soldiers in that Roman army, and he is stationed in this Caesarea that is by the seaside of the Mediterranean Sea. Those Romans, they are enemies actually of the Jewish people. But the Jewish people are under subjection of the Romans. That was because of their own sin. They are not a free people. That was such a shame, isn't it? When God's children sin, when the Lord did place his children in Babylon as a punishment, and then in the midst of the whole world, then they are seen as those that are subject, or then the world can mock. And so God's children do bring so often a contempt upon the Lord himself. And now these people, these Jews, are here subject unto these Romans. And the Roman people were very, very proud. And they did glory in their victory, that they were standing above those Jews, and that was often very evident in the way that the Jewish people were treated, also by those Roman soldiers. And thus it is a very remarkable thing. But we read here about this Cornelius, that we read he is a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Who would have expected such a thing among the ranks of the Roman army? A God-fearing man. Then it is not only, it was also others that said it of him, but it is the Lord who says it of this man, that he is a God-fearing man. Who would the Lord say that of us? Of us who all have an outward religion, you and I. But would the Lord say that in heaven, that minister, that people, they are actually a people that fear God. God is in heaven. We are upon the earth. We are ignorant. We are foolish. And we are proud, like we stand alone upon the whole world. But now of Cornelius we read he feared God. What does that mean to fear God? What does that mean, young people, to fear God? In the first place, it means that a person stands in awe. He stands in awe of God, of the majesty of God. We lack that today in a great way, don't we? In the world in which we are living, then men do speak unto God. Men do act in this world as if they are God. That is what we wanted. We want to be God. And we have no respect in our heart for God. That is in the first place what it means to fear God. And Cornelius, he is a man who is himself in authority. He has persons under him whom he tells what they have to do. And then Cornelius is made to feel by God that he is also under God, that he has also won, that he has to answer to himself. A man that fears God, fears to sin. Do you fear to sin? Do you fear to sin? Because it is against God, because it is against the law of God. You know what Solomon says? He says that such a man feareth the commandment. He feareth the commandment. Do we fear the commandment? We hear them every Sabbath day. Maybe we don't even listen anymore. We are so used to it. But as we go every day over this world, do we fear? Do we stand in awe of the commandments of the Lord? Do we say sometimes, children, no, I will not do that. I may not do that. Because that is against God and it is against the word, the law of God. Cornelius feared God. You say, how did Cornelius know that law of God? And how did Cornelius know what sin was? Did his mother teach him that? Did his father teach him that? No. No, probably not. Because he was from that Italian band. They were persons that had no morality, no sense of morality. And it didn't make any difference to them and whether a person was an animal or a human being. Then they were people which had very, very low morals. No, Cornelius was not very likely instructed by his father and by his mother. Where did Cornelius learn that then? Well, the Lord knows how to teach that, because Cornelius is an elect vessel of the Lord. And the Lord has his ways. And then there is a natural theology. And so the Lord has given Cornelius to look about him. Oh, there is also something within us, part of that natural theology that says what sin is that is so greatly darkened. And then in the providences of the Lord, what has he done in that life of Cornelius? Then he has brought him into connection with that Jewish nation. And there where he is living, where he is stationed by that Roman governor, there Cornelius comes in contact with the true God, with that Jewish people. Thus we have the leadings of the Lord, the mysterious leadings of the Lord unto us. But we read in God's word, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the creation. And this congregation is all the more remarkable because those Jews were not so close to God, were they? We have heard that lately. Because they have departed far from that which the Lord had given unto them. Because they themselves did not walk in a moral way. Because they themselves had allowed all that God had given unto them in that covenant. They had allowed this to degrade into superstition. And so there were not so many, especially of the rulers, of those who ought to have been setting an example also for Cornelius. But he did not find that example among the Jews. You say, how is it possible that such a man, a Roman, a man who was brought up in the midst of this world, and he is coming and he is having association with a corrupt church, and that the Lord is working the truth. That the Lord is working the truth. Thus, it is not the Lord who is hindered by any of this corruption. No, his truth that is still the foundation for those Jewish people, whatever they have done with it themselves. And so God leads Cornelius into that truth, and God teaches Cornelius what sin is, and he teaches Cornelius what his law is, and Cornelius stands in awe. He fears God, but awe is not the extent of the fear of God, because there is something else. There is also a slavish fear. And that has nothing to do with the fear of God, the true fear of God, as we read here. There are many people who have a slavish fear in their life, and there were many people in the end of this world that will fear God and will cry to the mountains and the hills to fall on us. No, there's something else. And what is that? In the fear of God, that is love. That is the love of God. Is that not a wonder? Is that not a wonder? After we have departed from Him, after we have rejected Him, after we have turned our back upon Him, that there is such a thing as the fear of God, wherein love is living. Thus the Lord, when He gives a man to fear Him, He is pouring out that love of Him in his heart. The Lord is not a hard master, is He? No, the fear of God is something, congregation, that is very, very sweet. David says, "Thy gentleness hath made me great." And we can read in God's Word that nations, they are going to run after thee, after God's people. Because of the Lord they got, they are not going to be forced to go. No, they are going to be drawn by the Lord. Or was your heart ever drawn? Is your heart ever drawn to love the Lord, to seek the Lord, boys and girls, young people? Because the Satan, he will draw our heart after all this world. Oh, there are so many things that our heart can go after to love. Do you ever sit in the Lord's house? And does the Lord ever draw your heart that you might love Him? Oh, do you ever see His goodness, His long-suffering to such a person? You say, as you are, that Roman governor, he places this Cornelius in this place. But that highest governor, that highest emperor, he is the one who truly is placing this man here with Israel. Remember that these people, these Jewish people, are despised. They are despised in the midst of this world. They are a people who are under bondage in this world. And now what is the Lord doing in the heart of this Cornelius? Oh, He's bringing the heart of Cornelius to love this people. To love this people. Then he looked past everything. All the circumstances, the lowly circumstances of the children of Israel did not mean anything to him. But the Lord did unite his heart unto the truth that the children of Israel may have. And that is a wonder too, isn't it? Because by nature, we say all those who are prosperous in the world, think about Asaph, those who are prosperous in the world, they are the ones that have the favor of the Lord. not those that are poor, that are afflicted. No, that is our worldly thinking. Asaph was given to see that. So was Cornelius. And he looked past all the afflictions, and he looked past all of the trials that were being endured by the children of Israel, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house. That is such a wonder that it was not only Cornelius. We read that he had a devout servant. We read his whole house was also influenced by him, because if we fear the Lord in truth, then something is going to be evident in our life, and something is going to go out from us in our life. I know, people of the Lord, you say, oh, what goes out from me? Hopefully that light is upon your back. But it is not because a person is a good speaker. It is not because a person can explain it so well, maybe, to his family, that he has so much freedom to speak unto them. No, but there is something that is living in the heart of a father or mother or brother or whoever that may be that is shining, that is going out from them. There is a solemnity. There is an earnestness. There is truth that is living within their heart. And then others around them, they can see that by times. They can feel that by times. Oh, there is something here. And Cornelius' family, they have in front of them, they have with them every day, the tender fear of God before them. That is more than we can do, parents, because we can say to our children, no, you may not do this, and you may not do that, and you can warn and warn and warn and warn. And that is good. We need to do that. I don't say we do not need to. No. But what is now more? If there's something may go out from you, if there's something that your children, they may say, oh, if I had what father has, if I had what mother has, if there is something that may draw your children, you know what the Bible says? They that turn many to righteousness are going to shine as the stars forever and forever. That will not just be ministers, no. But there are those that are being used in a quiet way, a mother in her own home, when she may portray the fear of God in her life, when there may be felt, even when maybe the tears are not always seen, but when there may be felt in the heart, by the family, by the children, that there is something here which has substance. Do you think that this man is going to mistreat the people, the Israelitish people, like all his fellow centurions, that he is going to stand so high above them, that he is going to abuse the children of Israel? No, congregation, that cannot be. That is now something that comes out in the life of the people, where that fear of God is. That is part of that fruit. What do we read here? Which gave much alms to the people and pray to God always. Alms. Thus, that is just the opposite of oppression. That he helped them. That he took of his own. He dug in his own pockets, we would say. To help out those of the very enemy. Much alms, we say. So he's very, very generous. What does the Lord do to those who have? Because then there are also those with substance. And what does the Lord do? Is he working? Then he is changing the values that a person has. That he is making a man to help and to love those that are in need. How was it with you, boys and girls? young people in school. Because this Cornelius, he had all his comrades, all those fellow centurions. They were also over soldiers, and he had communications with them. Probably he was mocked when he gave alms to this people. You're a soldier. You're a centurion over those soldiers, maybe under their breath. He was mocked even by those soldiers which were under him. He had compassion. Oh, how is it with you boys and girls? You are in school. You see, there's a boy. There's a girl. They don't have it like everyone else does. They are being mocked. They're being made fun of. What do you do? What do you do? Do you befriend them? Because they are poor? Because they are afflicted? Are you afraid of what everyone else is going to say around you? Cornelius was not afraid. Why not? Because he feared God. He feared God. How is the young people? When you go to university, you go to college, and around you are all people, just like those Romans. They do not believe in God. Morality means nothing. How do you stand there? You're all alone. All alone in your classroom. You say, if I say this, they're going to mock me. Cannot be a friend with them anymore. Oh, where are you willing to stand? The fear of God. Does that live also in your heart? He prayed to God always. This man was not a Jew. This man was a Gentile. He was congregation, an outsider. Are you an outsider? Cornelius stood on the outside of what? He stood on the outside of the covenant. Of the covenant. This was the covenant people. It was the covenant people of God. And Cornelius was not part of that. And he knew that very well. But Cornelius wanted to know who that God was. That God of the covenant. The God of the Jews. He says, that now is the true God. I did not hear of him in my youth. But this is now he. Oh, he desires to know him. He is uncircumcised. He does not have the sign, just like we have. Not because he despised it. That would be sinful. But it was because of his circumstances. And yet the root of the matter was found in him. With all his heart, even though outwardly he was not a part, with all his heart he joined with that Jewish people. We read he fasted. He fasted. Oh, he made himself part of that. And he prayed unto God always. How can he receive it? He does not know. He does not have an answer to that. Do you have an answer to that? Did he stop praying? Said he prayed to God always, and still he remained a Gentile, and still he does not stop praying. No, he could not stop praying, even though he was on the outside of it. Does the Lord see that? Does the Lord know that? The Lord knows that. Because the Lord planted that root. Who planted the root? The Lord planted that root. And the Lord will not just let that root die. No, but the Lord is going to bring forth fruit from that root. But let us sing first from Psalter 290, stanzas 4 and 5. O Lord, remember me in grace. Let me salvation see. The grace thou showest to thy saints. That grace revealed to me. 4 and 5 of 290. Peter begins to preach. No, the angel of the Lord did not begin to preach. The Lord sent his angel from heaven to speak unto Cornelius. And that angel did point him to Peter. Because the angels are not sent to preach. Do you wish maybe there was an angel to preach? But who would the Lord have to preach? That is a sinner. Because the angels cannot say out of their own experience what it is to be lifted out of that pit. But the Lord sends a man to preach. Who knows what it is and what it is to be delivered out of that pit that he had brought himself into. Then Peter opened his mouth and he begins to preach a sermon there in that house of Cornelius in Caesarea that is full of people. Cornelius, we read, his kinsmen and his near friends. His closest friends, you hear who he brings? He says, friends, come with me. Come with me because now we are going to hear something out of the Word of God. Oh, evidently then there is room for this preaching. And who made that room? That was not Peter. No, that is God himself. And then the Lord gives much freedom in the preaching when there is room. When there is room, when the Lord makes room in your hearts, that is unknown to Peter, but that is unknown to his servants, but that is known from heaven, that is what is the Lord is doing on that side. And then what is the Lord doing on Peter's side? Then the Lord is giving to Peter something to speak to those in whom he has made room. Thus, we have now that preaching itself. And what do we hear in that preaching? Then we hear that room is declared in that preaching in our second thought, because Cornelius fears God, but Cornelius has no solution for his life. He does not have a solution for his own case. Because Cornelius still is standing on the outside of it. There are obstacles in the way for Cornelius. And Cornelius is not able to take away what is standing in the way. Are there obstacles in the way that you are not able to take out of the way? What are they? There can be so many. For one, it is one thing. For another, it is something else. Maybe you say, my heart, that is as hard as a rock. I cannot weep a single tear. Oh, how I wish that I could be flooded with tears. Is that your grief? Is that what now is standing in your way? Another one says, oh, I have a life behind me. My life, my case that is like no man's in the whole world. I cannot say it all to you. It would not be edifying. But oh, there is an obstacle. There is an obstacle in my way. Another one says, I am old. How can I now expect to fold my hands? To bend my knees? When I've given my whole life to the world. And then the Lord, he will say, do you expect now that I will give it to you? Are you going to give to me your old bones, obstacles? Another one says, my heart is not true. There is nothing in me but hypocrisy. I have an outward religion, and inside it is the devil. Another one says, I am carnal. My heart that is full of the world, obstacles that are standing in the way. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Where do you get the message from? From heaven. From heaven. Not from a man. That is a lesson Peter himself had to learn. From the Lord. That this was a new time.
a new dispensation, and that it was different from the old time. Because in the old time that people were rejected, they were on the outside. And now the Lord says, what before was filthy, and that I was going to leave filthy, now I've cleansed them. Now I've cleansed them. Who does he refer to? He refers to the Gentiles. And so Peter receives a message when he is all by himself. For who? For Cornelius. For Cornelius. Thus Peter opens his mouth. He says, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Congregation, how this has gone into the heart of Cornelius. No, not only did the Lord make room in his heart for the preaching. Lord, ever make room in your heart for the preaching? But now the Lord makes room in the preaching. For who? For Cornelius. For this Gentile. He hears this. And what do you think happens in his heart? Congregation, for the first time in his life. Oh, then there is a way. There is a way that is open to Cornelius. You know what our catechism says? It is so personal, beautiful. It says not only for others, but also for me. You ever have that in your life? When you are sitting in the church of God and you have no solution, solution for everyone else, or is possible for everyone else. I can see it, but I cannot see it for myself. And now it is not that this man has never heard of this name. Peter begins to preach this name. And when Cornelius has obstacles that he cannot take them away, then the Lord takes them away. He takes them away through the preaching of a truth, he says. I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. What is the solution? He says, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. He was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. In his name. What name? Oh, Cornelius has heard that name. You can be sure of that. What does Paul say? This thing was not done in a corner. You know what Cornelius never heard? He never heard that name in connection with his own name. With his own name. That is, congregation, the issue. That is the issue for every one of those persons that are sitting here today that have no solution. Then the Christian world would say that that name of Jesus Christ, there you have the solution. You must only believe it. Must only believe it. Oh, it is for sinners, yes. But is it for me? But is it for me? And now he hears for the first time in his life that name connected. So connected. That was just the obstacle. Just the obstacle that was Cornelius's obstacle. That the Lord was a respecter of persons. That it was for the Jewish people. But it was not for the Gentile people. And now he hears from the mouth of Peter, from the mouth of the Lord, that the Lord has made it different. Oh, the Lord is taking away the obstacles in the life of Cornelius, oh congregation. Did the Lord ever take away your obstacles? Because there is nothing that stands in the way of the Lord. Do you believe that? Did you ever experience that? We read that he is able to save to the uttermost, them that come unto God by him. That there is no case that is too difficult for him. That there is no case that he is not able to solve. That his grace that is as wide as the ocean. Did he ever show you that? Did that ever take away for you the obstacle that was standing in between? What was Paul's obstacle? Paul's case was a continual case. It was a hopeless case. Why was it a hopeless case? He says, because. He says, the good that I would, I do not. And the evil that I would not, that I do. It doesn't go away. This evil heart, oh wretched man that I am. And then the Lord has taken away that obstacle. Oh, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, then he may see how large that ocean is. How great and how deep that ocean is. Micah says, that will cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. And in congregation, then there is nothing left. Nothing left. Is that sea large? Did you ever see the largeness of it? Well, maybe you even say, but that sea is not large enough. That sea is not large enough. Do you know what Isaiah says? He says, for peace, I had great bitterness. You ever have that? Great bitterness. But thou, he says, in love to my soul, hast delivered me from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Behind thy back. Is that ocean not big enough? What is there behind the back of God? It's just infinite. It's just infinite. There can be an ocean of iniquity. But it's behind his back. And it can go on forever and forever and forever. And it is to be remembered by him no more. O congregation, what poor sinner's case cannot now be solved by him. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Why do you laugh? Why do you laugh? Like Sarah. Is that too high for you? Is that too great for you? Say, I'm 60. I'm 70. I'm 80. I'm 90 years old. Could that yet be for me? Could I still yet bear fruit? Could it be for such a one who has such a past as I have? Oh, remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. Does your soul long for that? Does your soul desire that? Or what does Peter say here through his name? Whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Did the Lord require something from Cornelius? Or did he give? Or did he give everything unto him? What have you to bring with you? What does Top Lady say? He says, nothing. Nothing in my hands I bring, but simply to thy cross I cling. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Amen. O Lord, remember us. Make room for the preaching. Make room in the preaching. And deliver thou our souls. Who cannot deliver ourselves? Because it is all free from thee. Through the chiefest of sinners. Oh, give us eyes to behold it, that thou may work through faith in thee, and that thou may give our soul to leap for joy, as it has leaped in that day in the heart of Cornelius. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Bring us safely to our places and keep us in this week from all danger and harm, but also from evil and from sin. And give the tender fear of thy name in our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen. 364, all the stanzas. From out the depths I cry to thee. O Lord, let thy ear attentive be. Hear thou my supplicating plea. Have mercy, Lord. All the stanzas of 364.
the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Blessings.